The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Happy Independence Day. Right, we can...
Yes.
You can see already this morning people are beginning the grand celebration of Independence Day. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but before that, happy birthday. You know, I'm sorry I missed your birthday yesterday,
oh,
Christine.
Father, well.
You know, actually, I thought about it later Tuesday that I completely forgot to mention, knowing that I wouldn't be on Wednesday, and on Tuesday I forgot to mention. So
Father, it's
busy. I'm so,
here.
So sorry. Huh?
Should we sing happy birthday? Happy
you, say,
birthday
you can sing happy birthday. You sing happy birthday.
To you.
That was the operatic, what did you say? The operatic voice of Armin.
How about this?
Oh, there.
There you go.
Is that legit? Because it was yesterday. You guys did that yesterday, too.
Yes.
Yeah, but what's one more time?
Oh, yeah. No, that's the fourth, so I get fireworks for
there
my birthday.
There you go. You better believe
but
it.
But I want to thank Karen, everybody, Yolanda, I know you're listening, and everybody that called in to wish me a happy birthday, and all the family and friends, and thank you, Father, as well. And
you're welcome.
Karen gave me a gift. No, and then Karen gave me a little bear, and it says things. It's a happy birthday bear with the wrapping was Duck Dynasty characters.
Yeah.
So.
Now, what about, didn't I give you a card, too?
Yes, you gave me a card.
Yeah, it's it was a boring card. It was a boring card.
No, it's okay.
No,
it's just busy
just
over
joking,
here,
no.
Father.
Yeah,
but
no.
you gave me, well, just putting up with me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, putting up
that's
with
true.
Me is enough.
No, the fact that you put up with me, that's, you know, so anyway, I appreciate that. Anyway, that was weird.
Even Yolanda enjoyed
it. I talked to Geraldine about that. Anyway, so you had a nice
Yes, thanks
birthday.
Be to God. I had a nice birthday, and like I said, we're going to continue celebrating. Well, my brother comes in from Rome today, and tomorrow we'll go out.
And then you've got the big
family reunions on Saturday. Two family reunions.
And these are big families,
Ibarra
too.
And Carrasco.
Yeah.
So
you're going to be at two different parks, right?
Two different parks, and they're opposites. One is on the south side, the other one's in Arlington Heights. So, but I don't have time to get bored, Father. Yeah. We never get time to get bored here, right?
I don't think any. Well, yeah, no, we don't.
No, this is there's always so much.
That is so true. It's so true. It's beautiful outside.
And
it's a beautiful day for the holidays.
Tony's on his way. Tardy Tony.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so what is it that Minnesota has? Minnesota has 10,000 of these, but Chicago's are the most sublime. Most sublime. Nikki can.
I have no idea. Snowstorms?
Minnesota has 10,000 of these, but Chicago's
I have no
are
idea.
The most sublime.
No. Never been to Minnesota.
I have, but it's been a while, but I'm not so sure. But
Oscar would know.
I'm trying to think there. In terms of that's weather he's talking about or...
Beaches.
Oh, beaches.
So Chicago's, beaches. This is from the Gentleman's Quarterly, believe it or not. The Chicago beaches are the best in the heartland. Outranking Minnesota that may with 10,000
beaches.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm familiar with
I guess lakes, you know.
I'm familiar with the beaches around here, but the only beaches I know of are in Florida. Every time I hear about
exactly.
it, my parents talk about it.
So yeah, in the article it says, you know, that so this is July 4th, okay, so the weekend and through the summer, but Chicago is, well, as I just said, the best beaches in the heartland. There's volleyball. There's the famous Ferris wheel. We were just talking about
that's
that
right.
yesterday.
Yes.
That goes in slow motion.
It's pretty high, but it's
pretty high.
It looks worse than what it is.
And we got the greatest, one of the greatest cities. And this is from the Gentleman's Quarterly, one of the greatest, what is, I hate this when I feel like I've got marbles in my mouth. But
oh, that doesn't sound like marbles.
One of the, well, my, like, the, you know, I'm just frozen here. One of the greatest cities in the world, literally across mm-hmm. the street. Well, it's not just, I mean, it's on the Navy Pier. I mean, the beaches run along the, I mean, it's just, we have a beautiful lakefront.
Yes,
there's no
we
doubt
do.
About it.
We do.
But in the article, it says the sand is so integrated into Chicago life that you can arrive via the subway. And you can't do that in Florida. You know, and other beaches that get the nod are the Manhattan Beach in Los Angeles, the Cannon Beach in Oregon, Fort Tilden in New York City, Sullivan Island in Charleston. And Hanalei Beach in Kauai. What's that? Kauai? Kauai? Hawaii? Anyway.
Kauai.
So, all right. Independence Day. Independence from what? From the tyranny of King George, right?
Huh.
Great Britain. So look a little bit at that. You know, let's see here.
King George.
You know, I've just got to get that thing straight over here. So, let's see, where do we go? Waiting for Tony to come in.
Tony's on his way.
What is it
that we celebrate? What's it? The true freedom, you know, the freedom of religion. That's what we have the fortnight of prayer.
Exactly, which concludes today, too.
Yes.
So, Independence Day, the Declaration of Independence was adopted on this day in July 4th, 1776. Now, there's some discrepancy here. You know, was it July 2nd, was it August the 1st? But it was basically on this day that it was it's when we commemorate the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, which is basically declaring independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you associate with this day? Certainly the fireworks, the parades, and barbecues,
picnics.
And carnivals, and picnics. You've got the two picnics to go to, but you're going tomorrow, right, to the picnics?
Saturday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we'll just celebrate the 4th and my birthday. But, yes, it's family.
Baseball games,
yes.
Family reunions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of traditional day for family reunions.
Yes.
This is the day that there was the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain. So, actually, it occurred on July 2nd when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed in June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States independent from Great Britain. Let's see. Prepared by a committee of five, with Thomas Jefferson as the principal author. In fact, he said, you know, after he, because he basically wrote it, and actually, I was reading a little bit on this morning, but he didn't have a lot of time, and he was pretty busy. And so he wrote it in kind of a haphazard way. He wrote it rather quickly. And when the committee looked at it and they kind of scrutinized it and tried to refine it, he felt that it had been just turned upside down. But let's see, John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail, that the second day of July, so he's already the second day of July, but it's really the fourth, the second day of July, 1776, he says, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as a great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows,
yes,
games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, mm-hmm, forevermore. So, but he begins that by saying solemn acts of devotion to God, to God Almighty.
That's,
you know,
July 2nd is a very important date.
How you doing, Tony?
Thanks, Father.
You made it. Tell us a little bit about Independence Day.
Okay, Independence Day. It's July 4th.
All right.
People came here escaping from the tyranny of King...
You were listening.
You heard that, yeah.
Very, very clever,
Tony.
Put
me on the spot.
That's okay.
You could have said, like...
But that cat did rock, Jerry. That I don't care what anybody says. That cat did rock.
So two people signed the Declaration of Independence on... Oh, you think so? I thought it was...
Yeah.
Anyway.
I liked it.
So the actual signing of the document took place August the 2nd, 1776. Again, it could be disputed, but how many people signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th? Two. Three of the first... This is interesting. We've talked about this before. I guess we come back to this every year. I have to remind myself about this.
It's good to hear.
Three of the first five presidents died on the 4th of July.
Oh, that's right.
John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe. Huh. And Adams, the second president, and Jefferson, the third, died on the same day in 1826, the 50th anniversary of the Declaration. That is very interesting.
That's a sign.
You know, we look at that in the church. You know, we're always
there's no coincidence.
Interested in you know, when the saints die, or you know, what just certain things that happen, and we always
even the time of day.
Yeah, what was it the other day? I was when even Klepach died tragically, but sadly and tragically, but. When we had the mass was here for the family on his birthday. His birthday was the feast of St. Peter and Paul, the martyrdom of St. Peter and Paul.
Oh, that's right.
So just kind of, there's, you know, people make these connections, you know. I mean, maybe we're, but what, you
but
know,
no,
we do
no,
this.
No, things
we do
don't
it,
happen
yeah.
just because.
And also it was his 33rd birthday.
The 33rd you know? Birthday, yes.
Jesus died at the age of 33, mm-hmm. so. But that's very interesting, you know. It's almost, it's like a providential sign, you know, mm-hmm. That this country was founded for a purpose and certainly was built on Judeo-Christian principles as a land of... Well, you know, what is the most... I feel like I'm all over the place this morning because I've got stuff all over here and I can't... you guys are going to help me out. You know what? We're going to take a break. That's what we'll do. Thank you, Armin. We're going to take a break and we'll come back and we'll regroup, okay? Because I am. I've got stuff all over and I'm all over the place. I've already begun the celebration. I'm off, basically.
Okay. So, all right, we'll be back.
We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WSFI.
Celebrating our nation's birthday and the unalienable rights bestowed on us by our Creator. This is the Winds of Change on AM 750.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
the Winds of Change. Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us as we really begin the celebration of Independence Day, 1776. The 13 colonies liberated themselves, so to speak, from the tyranny of King George, Great Britain. What was the most well-known statement on human rights considered from the Declaration of Independence?
All men are created equal.
Yeah. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit
of happiness.
How does that translate today, how do you think, huh?
Wow. Nice.
Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. When we talk about it, and I must admit, I sit here, you fumble around, especially if you don't live this. I mean, I love history, and I actually love hearing about this, but think about it, as a year goes by, if we knew this, if we lived this, if we really knew it's important to know where you come from.
Sure, yeah.
Because then you can look today and see, and I think about how many people really don't know this. I mean, it's trivia now. It's interesting. You sit here and you think about things we already know, but how do we really know it? Think about these things.
How do we understand? You know, it's interesting you say that. And I tell you, I think I did too much reading this morning because I've got, I don't know where to focus. But I do want to address this whole question of liberty and freedom.
What is liberty?
You know,
because I
think it's, I think we're at a crossroads, perhaps, or maybe even beyond a crossroads. Maybe we need to pull back. But there was, but just to your point, a couple of years ago, I was watching interviews. These were some interviews with people on the street. You know how they go out with a microphone and asking people in the different on the beaches and all this kind of stuff, and in the parks, and as people are celebrating Independence Day, and of course, what do people know about it? Well, this is a celebration of the 4th of July. It's the 4th of July, but what is the 4th of July? And people were oblivious. Sad to say, but it's true. You know, so many were oblivious.
I would like to think that's all set up, but I've seen many things like that. But there's a way, if you just listen long enough, you could tell it can't be a setup.
Right.
There's people that really just
don't know. Or they'll just say there's the 4th of July sales.
Right.
Shopping. Another shopping day. Well, it was interesting. They had this one family, and it was four generations. And the only one who knew the answer was the oldest.
Exactly.
The great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather, I don't know, but it was four different generations. I thought that was kind of telling, you know. But the this idea of liberty. Oh, then the other thing, and I'm going back to 1976 because I just remember this specifically the 200-year celebration of Independence Day, and there was again interviews and just remember it stuck in my mind because people were speaking about the freedom, what freedoms we enjoy in the United States, but it was always followed by the freedom to do basically anything you want. In other words, this is a free country. You can do anything you want. And I think, too, you know, we forget, or we want to perhaps even deny the truth that the founders founded the nation on Judeo-Christian principles. And, you know, when you go through and you read the Declaration of Independence, you read the Constitutions, or you read, anything from their own writings, you know, that God had I think of in the gospel when Jesus speaks of the foolish people and the wise people, and he says the foolish people, they build their house on sand. So we're talking about the building of a nation. And in this case, on this day, we're talking about the founding, you know, lay the foundation. What is the foundation? And Jesus said the foolish people, he said they build their house on sand. And he said, the rain comes and the wind blows and the house falls. There's no foundation. But Jesus said, now the wise build their house on rock, on a rock solid foundation. And he's certainly referring to himself. And he says, nonetheless, the rain comes and the wind blows, but the house, it doesn't collapse because it has a rock solid foundation. And then I go always back to the book of Deuteronomy. I bring this up so often because this is just always before me. It's always before me. It's always within me. But when the commandments of God were given by God to the people of the covenant, the Israelites. And, you know, the alliance is ratified. You know, I'm your God, you are my people, and they accept this this covenant. They form this alliance with God, and these are the commandments. And he says, now obey these, reverence these, fulfill these laws, and you will be the envy of all nations. You will show yourself and prove yourselves to be a people noble and dignified and wise and intelligent. That's what the book of Deuteronomy says.
Unlike other nations.
What's that?
Unlike other nations, we always say.
Right.
Well, Father Coy, he talks about the...
Exactly, yeah, yes,
unlike
yes.
other nations.
So, the founder stated that our rights are inalienable in the Declaration of Independence, meaning that our rights come from God, and exactly. therefore no government can revoke those rights, okay? So it's built on these what has been handed on to us. You know, we speak about this all the time, and this is our contribution, can you say, to the people of our nation. We all want to, you know, because this is what we're all in this together to help each other to safeguard and protect what God has given us as a gift. And we would say that certainly our lives are a gift, our nation is a gift, our families are gifts, you know. But because we're in a world that is in conflict, we're in the trenches, we have to fight the good fight, we have to weather storms, you know, we have to work against ourselves, our worst selves. It means we got to look always away from the dark and into the light. We've got to recognize and know and understand that we're not at the center, each of us as individuals, but we're part of a human community, a human family, a nation.
Yes.
And this nation was built on and founded on and built on the rock-solid foundation of God. God is first. God is the center.
And it reminds me how the Ten Commandments were written on rock.
Mm. Right,
the
yeah,
rock
sure,
solid
yeah,
foundation
sure,
was on rock, stone.
Yeah, that was very clever of you to think of that.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Huh? But, you know, going back to the point that Tony made, because I was also just doing a lot of reading this morning, but I was inspired to get this book, and I haven't, but I want to get it. It's called The Five Laws of Liberty. The Five Laws of Liberty. And what are the five laws of liberty? Remember the past, just as you were saying.
Good point.
Remember the past. Embrace the truth. So that means there is a truth. It's not all relative. There is a truth. And that truth is written into our hearts. Respect humanity. Self-control, restraint. That would be the fourth. And protect and serve others.
Wow, that's five good points.
Yeah. So, having said that, we look at ourselves today as a people, and we ask ourselves, you know, where have we come? Especially when you consider that there seems to be this concerted effort to eradicate God from the very heart of the nation and from the foundation of the nation, at least. Now, again, as I say so often here too, what are we talking about? God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. So if we can no longer collectively as a people acknowledge that truth about our nation, then, and it's all relative, you know, your God, his God, you know, however you know, then I guess the question is, where's the glue that's going to hold it together to solidify? What is, because part of the reality is, yes, winds will come and the rain will come. We're going to pass through many storms. We're going to have to fight the good fight, you know, preserve and protect and safeguard the truth. That means to preserve and protect and safeguard the common good of a people so that we can live as best as possible in relative peace. So this idea of freedom, let me just go back to this idea of freedom. And I've probably mentioned this before. If you just take Chicago, and you take the Christians in Chicago, maybe even just take the Catholics in Chicago, those who are baptized Catholic. If we, each and every one of us, bore the responsibility, fulfilled the obligation to revere, to fulfill, to obey the laws of God. And those laws, we're talking about the Ten Commandments, summed up by Jesus in the two great commandments, to love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your enemy as well, he'll go on to say. And so it's amazing how many people think that these two great commandments somehow obliterate the other ten, or the Ten Commandments. And it's not at all. It's a summation of the Ten Commandments, because the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit, is a summation of the first three commandments, which are, refer to God. You have but one God. Obey this God. Take his name. Take not his name in vain. Keep holy the Sabbath. And this is important to this idea of the Sabbath, you know, that a day is set aside for gratitude and worship of God. Gratitude for what God has given, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, you know. This is, but again, how do you define happiness, you know, and liberty? But anyway, we can talk about that. But so that's the first of the first commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's a summation of the other seven commandments. So the point I'm making is, you know, this reducing this idea of love to, you know, love is no judgment, love is you know, you do your thing, I do my thing, and you know, don't judge, I won't judge, and you know, it's all relative, right? It's all relative. Your truth is as good as my truth, whatever that truth may be, but we are talking about a truth that has been revealed to us, and that is written into our. I always go back to this idea that it's written into our hearts, because I believe that so truly, that truth is the law of God is written into our hearts, so we know we can distinguish between right and wrong. So Armin just said we can't confuse liberty with license. You know, this is the libertinaje, no, mm-hmm. There's two kind of freedoms. One is, in fact, we can. In a moment, we'll take a break. We'll come back and look at that from Paul in his letter to the Galatians, because this is where I think there's a lot of confusion in our nation today, and that is, how do we define a freedom? What kind of freedom will really make us a free people? So I go back to what I was saying. If Catholics, just take the Catholics in Chicago, were to fulfill the obligation, bear the responsibility, recognize in gratitude to God, first we come from God, we go to God, and God we live, that we have an obligation, responsibility, and we do this in gratitude to obey these commandments, to live these commandments, to fulfill the commandments of God. If we were to all do that, just say the Catholics, the city would be transformed, completely, radically transformed. You know, and there was a time, and there's always going to be evil is always going to be present, always going to be scandal. There's always going to be those who rebel against God. I mean, Jesus says you can't avoid this. That's part of the weathers that have to be, the storms that have to be weathered and the storms that have to be fought. So we're always in the tension. We're always in conflict. Again, we're not flying high. We're not talking about a utopian kind of a society. We're talking about a life lived in the real world where people make a choice. And our forefathers made a choice. They made a choice to liberate themselves and their people from a tyrannical king, in order that freely, you know, and in obedience to God. Because this is something I was reading this in the Declaration as well. This adherence to God, that it be, if it so be the will of God. In other words, first and foremost, what is the will of God? Because they speak about how one has to be very careful about separating from government or separating from a nation. You know, it wasn't an easy thing for them to do. In fact, many of them didn't want to separate from Great Britain. That was the mother. That was
the motherland,
I guess, was Great Britain. And so this was a major. This was not an easy thing to do. But they knew that they had to, to We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator mm-hmm. with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so if we understand liberty, freedom, from a biblical perspective, and as the church safeguards for us, then we have true freedom in the sense that we can reason. So going back to Chicago, it was here in Chicago. So there was a time, hard to believe, when for the most part neighborhoods were safe. Mm-hmm. You know, you could send your children to the park. You didn't have to mm-hmm. worry about gangbangers and drug addicts and you know, the violence. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to. You know,
Didn't lock their doors.
I mean, you think about the nuns here in the school. I hear this, you know, going way back. Yeah, they had 50 students in their classroom. Mm-hmm. And what were the major problems? The major problems, chewing gum, you know, throwing paper on the ground or whatever. You know, you go back to I was reading this too, you know, we probably talked about this before, but the 1950s, early 1960s, what were the major problems in the schools? The major problems were precisely that, chewing gum, running down the corridor,
being late.
A fist fight maybe fist fight in the parking
food
lot.
Food fights? I don't know about that.
I don't know.
But you know, the interesting thing too is, and you'll hear those people, and I firmly believe this too. I believe the things of today were still there years gone by.
Sure.
But it seems like it's just ratcheted up so high now. It's acceptable. It's almost like you say, okay, we allow it if we let it go, and it happens. Before, I just think people just knew better. Mm. Now it's just so open. It's in your face, and it's not. It's
well,
not
you know
right.
what they say in Spanish. You know, they use the word sin vergüenza,
no,
the
la gente. No shame.
People live with no shame. Now, you know, and even as I say that, I feel like I'm making judgment because I, you know, the reality is we're not unaffected by what has happened in society. And so as I look into the congregation, as I'm at, you know, at the AMBO, mm-hmm. and I'm reading the gospel, and I'm celebrating the Mass, and I'm speaking to the people, even as I'm speaking here on the radio, how hard it is today in many ways, you know, because you're looking into the, but it doesn't mean by no means that you have to water down the truth. We can't. No. We've got to stay, again, preach the whole counsel of God.
Sure.
So I was just reading the other day, this just comes to my mind, and as soon as it did, I thought, but you know, I'm thinking of all these wonderful people, young women, who I meet on a regular basis who are unwed. They have children out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was reading yesterday that women in their late 20s, the majority of the women are unwed pregnancies. Now, you know, thank God they didn't resort to abortion. Mm-hmm. But the point is that, you know, we something is amiss. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that, because I do believe that, again, the laws are written into our hearts, yes. as Scripture says, and that we've kind of been coerced, or
sure.
we've kind of been seduced, or kind of been deceived, or we've kind of bought into the illusion. We're certainly under the dominion of pop culture, not, mm-hmm. not that we want to be, but it just happens, you know, because the influence of the pop culture is yeah. so strong. You know, this is constantly in our face, constantly before us, and it's very seductive, very attractive, and so it makes things seem very easy.
You know, when we keep God in the center, we're called to a higher standard. And like Tony was saying about how back then people knew better. Now the standards have been lowered, and I don't even know if there's any standards nowadays. It's like anything
goes.
Well,
what do they say? We kind of dumb it down.
Yes,
everything is dumbed down, you know.
And see, I think about those people yeah. like Christina, I mean, that know this for a fact, that know, you know, shame, or know that something is amiss. Today, these people have to say, well, do I go against the current? Am I strong enough to not give in to what everybody today is a norm.
Yeah, that's hard.
And it's so hard.
It's hard.
I don't know, you know.
How do you get away from pop culture? How do you get away from the news?
Exactly, yeah.
How do you
yeah.
live a pure, chaste life?
I mean, exactly. And you can't, that's where you can't fault the young people, because mm-hmm. they've been basically raised in this kind of an environment that really, at some point, perhaps in the 60s, you know, it certainly precedes the 60s because it's been brewing for a long time, but there was at some point, I think, in the 60s when it just everything really flipped and went upside down. Right. And it was the badge of honor to show oneself rebellious, mm-hmm. you know. Kind of a severing, the five laws of liberty, mm-hmm. to remember the past, know where you've come from, mm-hmm. Embrace the truth, respect humanity, self-control, protect and serve others. We've come so far from that in many ways, even though I think people long for the good old days, not that they were always that good, but there was a significant difference.
Yeah.
I mean, again, go back to the schools. We'll take a break here, but you go back to the schools, and who would have ever thought, you know, that we would be living in a time when, you know, you had to, many of the schools have
metal detectors.
You have to
fear the kids.
You got students are fear.
The shootings
in
the
schools.
Teachers have to fear the students.
And I'm telling you, and this is so it's not, you know, oh come on, you know, you're exaggerating, or it's you talk to teachers. Mm-hmm. You read the newspaper, read neighborhood newspapers,
exactly.
Just in Chicago, and there you'll get a sense of what's going on in the schools. How many times the police have been called into schools?
Yeah.
You know, all we have to do is open the paper every day and read about what's happening in the city of Chicago. And it's not just in, it may be more intense, more acute in some neighborhoods, but it's I mean, in the suburbs now, the deaths from addiction or overdosing on, what is it, cocaine or
heroin.
You know, anyway. You know, the point is that, well, we'll take a break, we'll come back. But the five laws of liberty. Remember the past. Remember where we've come from. Embrace the truth. There is a truth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the church can do a great service to society. Respect humanity. Here, too, is where the church can do a great service to society. Self-control, restraint. Here, too, the church can be certainly that leaven, right? That a great, great source of support to the society. Protect and serve others. Mm-hmm. Again, here, too, the church, yeah, this is who we are, mm-hmm. you know, and we've been affected by the flipping or this diabolical disorientation, mm-hmm. and so it's there's a point now where we have to step we for some time now, but we got to step back and ask ourselves, you know, where have we deviated, or how do we confront what is the present current reality in the United States, increasingly so. Relativism, hedonism, individualism, radical individualism, and materialism,
mm-hmm.
you know? All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTM Catholic Radio, Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio, on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
Celebrating our nation's birthday and the unalienable rights bestowed on us by our Creator. This is the Winds of Change on AM 750. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. .org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Independence Day. As we're talking about the five laws of liberty, remembering the past, embrace the truth, respect humanity, self-control, restraint, protect and serve others. It's if we continue, if we have no regard for the past, if we do not embrace truth, if we don't respect humanity, if we show no self-control, no restraint, and if we don't protect and serve others, the nation, our nation, this free nation, again, wise insofar as it was founded on the foundation of God's life, the laws of God, and the plan that is laid out for us by Christ Jesus. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus. If we sever our relationship, because it's a relationship with God, this God, and we, so that's severing ourselves from the past. It's to forget the past. Choose not to embrace truth because it's all relative. We choose not to respect humanity. Now, that how do we interpret that as well? Self-control. I mean, restraint. This is what we're talking about too. You know, a lack of self-control. The free reign of the flesh, basically. If we're not recognizing the need to protect and serve others, then the country will decline from democracy to anarchy, from anarchy to bondage, from bondage to tyranny, from tyranny to oppression, and from oppression to death. That's why it's important, I think, you know, to know what it is we celebrate and why we celebrate. So it's certainly a liberation from the tyrannical reign of King George, Great Britain, but it's a liberation from that to an embracing what God had laid out, what God has laid out for us. You know, St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he speaks about the true freedom from false freedom, and he says, you are called for freedom. We've been called for freedom. But he says, do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So some people would interpret that as, well, then no judgment. You know, again, we're talking about when we speak about freedom, we speak about love. We're talking basically about what? But a genuine freedom that is born from what kind of love? But a sacrificial love that thinks not of itself, but of the, goes beyond itself to think of the common good. And knowing that oneself has come from God, we go to God, and God we live. This is how we understand it. And this is how the nation was founded. So St. Paul says, I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. and these are opposed one to another, so that you may not do what you want. But if you're guided by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now he says, okay, these are the works of the flesh. This is what he means by the works of the flesh. He says they're obvious. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. And he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And such, against such there is no law. So he, and then he gets into he speaks about the whole sacrificial aspect of this, that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us then follow the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envious of one another. And he goes on and on. But the point being is, this is a sacrificial love that says, you know, goes back to these five laws of liberty, that we remember the past, remember where we've come from, that we embrace the truth, we respect humanity, self-control, restraint, protect and serve others. I don't know, William Bradford's tomb, sketched on the tomb I was reading this morning, what our forefathers with so much difficulty secured, do not basely relinquish. So I don't know, let me ask you, freedom, or these five laws of liberty, remembering the past, embracing the truth, respect for humanity, self-control, protect and serve others. How do you read that today? How's that enfleshed in our society today?
I don't see it. The total opposite. It's like you said, the diabolical disorientation. It's all upside down.
I think something like you just read, it's in all of us.
There's a conflict.
Mm-hmm. Right. The conflict, though, is the world around us is not that. I think for me it helps, and the best way to describe it is because I know where I come from. I know there's someone greater than me, and I practice my faith. I think for those that know nothing of faith, know nothing of, it's not about me, you don't see these mm-hmm. things. That's mm-hmm. when I hear something like that, it's written in my heart. It has to be. You know, you don't have to tell somebody to respect others. You really shouldn't. But people, you have to hear that almost every day now. Because I think about how we, as a people, many people, it's always us first. If you think about anything you do, and I think a lot of times we do this instinctively now, you know, whether you're sitting on your cell phone and you're not thinking that somebody else, or you cut somebody off, we just, everybody does it, and it doesn't, it
But what is a challenge, I mean, for the church, let's say for somebody who espouses who's in relationship with God, I mean, God is at the center of life, but as you said, you know, there's a conflict in all of us, and so we mm-hmm. have to, every day, we have to make a choice. Right. We have to make a choice. And our natural inclination may be the things of this world, the things of the flesh, I want to do it my way, I want to mm-hmm. do my thing. Our natural inclination is perhaps away from sacrificial right. love. And so how is it that we... what do we do? I mean, how do we, again, remembering the past, embracing the truth, respecting humanity, self-control, protect and serve others. Some people would say, you know, that in fact, as Christians, we don't do that. We don't respect humanity because we don't, because we put parameters, we create boundaries. Mm-hmm. Or we don't allow people just, why do people... walk away so often from the faith, because they don't want to be, they don't want the the laws imposed upon them. They don't want the boundaries. They want freedom. Freedom.
Free reign of the... They feel that they're
but
being they,
but
limited.
But they don't know that it's... Yeah. Do they know that it's the free reign of the flesh?
No, they don't.
You know, and then, of course, you know, even saying that, it's like, well, you people are just so fixated on the flesh. But again, we're talking about something other... Not just sex, but it's just the self-indulgence, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of reflection on... What are the ramifications, the consequences of my behavior, of who I am? You know, how am I serving you? How do I serve my my family? How am I serving my wife or my husband? How do we serve the church?
I think only in God can we learn those answers. And when you think about what we can do, and as trite as this might sound sometimes, by example. I mean, people have to see in us a difference. They have to see we're not of this world. We can't. We have to be reflective. We have to pray. We have to know that there is someone greater than us. And I know if we can go through life showing this, sure, many people are going to throw stones. Many people are going to say, oh, look at this, you know, you're this one way and you're another way, but we have to, it's a struggle within all of us that we just got to be our best person.
Okay, so we'll take a break here, but we said we're not of this world and yet we're in the world, you know, mm-hmm. God so loved the world. And so we, you know, even I think of the nation as a leaven, as a kind of an incarnation of what we're supposed to be, the best of who we're supposed to be, even though we've got conflict. The nation has always been in conflict, has always had its struggles. Every generation has its stresses. And so each of us is a microcosm of a nation that is God-centered, let's say founded on the principles of the faith in God. Certainly as a church, the church is a sacrament. So could we say that the nation, being a Judeo-Christian nation, is a sacrament that should mediate God's grace, the best of who we are, the best of what is in humanity throughout the world, and yet... We deviate. We've deviated from that, but for the most part, you know, that has been is what has made us. It would seem to me, at times, perhaps in the past, the envy of other nations. You know, this is a wise, this is an intelligent, this is a noble people. Let's take a break, then we'll come back and just kind of pick up where we left off and bring this to an end.
I'm Father Anthony Owens of Change on the new EWTM Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
Celebrating our nation's birthday and the unalienable rights bestowed on us by our Creator, this is the Winds of Change. On AM 750, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org, ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm so glad this show's over because I feel like this has been one of my...
No.
I am just...
No.
You know what it is? I want to end on a positive note because I feel this frustration. I did the other day, too, for some reason. By the way, I won't be here next week, so I think I need the break.
It's hard. You know what I mean?
Let me just say this. I think as a church, we're called as people, we've got to wake up to who we are, and we're called to authenticity. We've got to be authentic disciples of Christ, which means that we've got to be lovers of God, lovers of the laws of God, and lovers of humanity. And you know, as I look into the congregation, I see these are God's people and conflicted and, you know, all over the place in this and that or whatever. We've certainly got to bring a truth that sets us free, a truth. Let me just go, we're out of time now, and I'm glad we're out of time because, you know, and I'm glad I'm going to be gone for a week, so... The five laws of liberty. Remember the past, embrace the truth, respect humanity, self-control, protect, and serve others. St. Paul said to Timothy, you know, in season, out of season, when convenient, when inconvenient, be persistent in living and preaching the truth. And, you know, we humbly come before the Lord, asking the Lord to take this broken humanity and make it like unto himself, unto yourself. Anyway, everybody, have a blessed day. God bless America. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have truth left unsold. The truth left.